Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli, here on blogtalkradio.com's Garage Talk Live Monday edition. It's Monday the 20th of January. Happy Martin Luther King Day. And tonight we're going to touch on, have a couple of guests calling in. My first guest will be race car driver Jenny Haraldson, and she'll be joining us in a minute or two. And at the bottom of the hour, PRN pit reporter Steve Richards will be joining us, and we'll talk about the upcoming NASCAR season. But right now I'd like to pick up my guest and welcome to the show for her first time ever, Jenny Haraldson. Jenny, welcome.
Hi, Vince. How are you?
Good. With all the interaction going back and forth, I feel like I know you already.
Yeah, me too. Well, I just want to say it's an honor and a privilege to be on your show. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, I'm searching out new talent because I'm tired of the same old boring guys running in the upper tier series of NASCAR and whatever, and I'm trying to see who's coming up through the ranks here and seeing if some young ladies such as yourself are doing what it takes to get there. And I see you're a professional race car driver, and what all do you drive besides stock cars?
Well, I drive stock cars every day. Well, not every day, but that's my job. So I drive stock cars at a racing experience or a driving experience, and every day I drive my Gixxer 6, so 600 cubic inch cross rocket. So I drive that, and I love it. Once in a while, I get to drive other things, like I'll get to drive a Viper or something like that. But basically, I drive stock cars for right now.
Now, you work for the Richard Petty Experience out at where, Las Vegas Motor Speedway?
I sure do. If anybody gets a chance to come out and take a ride or drive one of our cars, it's quite the experience.
Especially in Las Vegas, nice mile and a half track. You get some pretty good speeds up. And how long have you been doing that? It seems like you have the need for speed between that and your and that motorcycle you ride.
That's right. I sure do. I've been with Richard Petty for close to 2 years now, and I love it. I can't say enough about the company and my coworkers, and just top notch. That's for sure. They're definitely the best in the business.
Now, the thing that gets me there is people come down, I guess they take a course, and then do they ride around with you, or do they actually, I guess, do the driving while you're in the seat next to them? Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. If they pick the driving experience, they go through a classroom setting. We get them all, we teach them, and then we take them out. They get in the stock car, and we'll have a professional driver sitting in passenger seat with them. You have communication through your helmets, and we help coach them along, get them as fast as we can on the racetrack.
Now, how fast do these cars get up? Are they would be considered nationwide series compatible or ARCA series compatible, or are they full old Sprint Cup cars?
You know, they're more like a nationwide car, but we keep it just around 165 miles per hour out at the racetrack at Las Vegas Motor Speedway there. So that's plenty fast in those cars. You get a good speed rush, and if you're a really good driver and you're out there driving one of our cars, we can get you near 150 miles per hour is where I've seen a student before. That's about the top I've seen a student go.
Now, is most of that because they're too scared to go any faster, or is it just the way it is out on the track? I mean, are they out on the track with other cars, or are they out solo?
No, they're not usually out solo. We usually have at least three cars on the track at one time, plus a ride-along car, and that's where you can get in the passenger seat with one of our professional racers, and we take you around at 165 miles an hour. So we have all those cars on the track. But, you know, the funny thing is you can be all excited, as excited as you want, and then you get out in that race car, and, you know, the nerves kick in, and most people have never done that before. So it takes, you know, most of their whole experience to get them up to speed.
I'm more leery as a passenger than as a driver.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why that is, because maybe I feel I don't have control of a vehicle. But I personally have raced people on the highway in a passenger car, but that's not the same as in a fully built race car, with NASCAR safety features like the 5-point harness and the seats.
Mm-hmm.
How do the seats work in these cars? You get all different sized people that try to get in these things, don't you?
Yeah, they're on top of their game, like I said, with Richard Petty driving experience. So we have all different sizes of cars. Obviously, the seats can't move due to safety reasons. So each car is set up, different sizes. So when people come in, we kind of get an idea of how tall they are, and we pick the right car for them.
Okay. You make them all stand, okay, like if you're this tall, you get this car. You're this tall. Like, I'm 5'9" and a half, 5'10".
Yeah.
I used to be 5'10", but now I'm getting older, and I guess my bone mass has shrunk me down a half an inch. So I would get one of the cars that are, between a certain size range, because the main thing is being snug in that seat and avoid moving around too much, because I think that kind of helps your ability to stay put while you're not sliding around. Am I right?
Absolutely. We're professionals at this, so, we can look at you when you come in, and we pretty much know exactly which car is going to be perfect for you, so that's what we do with that. It's great. If you haven't been out there, come out there. A lot of times we'll have folks come to Vegas. The girls will go shopping, and the guys will go out to the racetrack or vice versa. It's pretty cool. You definitely leave with a smile on your face.
How many girls do want to come out and hop in and drive the car, speaking of girls going shopping? Does anybody really go shopping in Vegas?
Oh, yeah. We have every outlet store you can imagine. We have all the designer stores. So if you live in a place that isn't very populated, this is the place to shop. But people, when they come out to the racetrack, you'd be surprised. The women, generally, if they got that speed gene in them, they generally do better than the guys. And, I think it might have something to do with them listening. They'll listen a little bit easier than a guy sometimes wants to kind of prove what he's got. So we see that sometimes as well.
Now, do you have any separate controls in the car itself in case somebody kind of overdoes it?
We're in the car with them as well. Like, we're in the passenger seat, so we do a really good job of taking people and safely getting them faster and faster. So we do a really good job at that.
Oh, that's pretty good, because I know, like I said, I'm more of a driver and not so much of a passenger. My wife and I, we had tickets to Bristol, and for buying tickets at a certain time, they let you take your car down and on the track. And we have a 08 Mustang GT, 5-speed, and we thought that'd be kind of fun to ride around Bristol Motor Speedway. And, and she was doing pretty good with it, considering the tires. She was ready for new tires, and we were able to go around there, and they'd let us cheat. So they had a pace car, but they usually pretty much ran about 75 mile an hour in front of us. We were able to sneak it up to 80 before it started pushing out. So we didn't want to hit the wall with that.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is fun, and, I know the banking at Vegas is a little different than Bristol, but you can feel with the steeper banking how it wants to help you steer the car into the turn.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't overdo it on a street car, at least in the Richard Petty driving experience stock car. You got the wider tires, a better grip, and all that kind of stuff. So you might have the tendency to I would feel the tendency to push it further, knowing I would be that stable going into the turns, where your street car, it's not designed for that, so you'd want to slide.
Absolutely, yeah. And what I've noticed is whatever conception you have coming in, as soon as you get in that race car, all bets are off. You're kind of fighting your mind on that part of it, going through the corners fast. You're not used to that environment, and you haven't been in that race car before, so you're not sure that it's going to stick, even though they always do. It's still something you have to get to learn to trust the car as well.
Now, in a place like Vegas, there are certain points where you have to brake going into the turn, so like the students would hit the marks, as they say?
Nope, we don't brake in this program. The engines are super high horsepower. You know, they're 650 horsepower, so there's plenty of compression to slow them down just by letting off the gas enough. So we just let off a little bit and keep on trucking.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that has to hit the brakes a little bit to slow down the take the turn at the right spot. And I guess basically once they get the feel of it for a lap or so, then you say, well, you know, your best way is to come in at this angle and come down at that and then let the car ride out as you're coming off the turn and that type of thing.
Well, yeah, they go through at least a 45-minute class, so we detail all that kind of things. There's a lot going on in that race car when you're in there, and we ask you to just do certain things, kind of like you're talking about where to turn and all that kind of stuff. So they go through that big 45-minute class, and it gets them geared up, and then we're there to help them through it as well inside the car. So, yep, they're in good hands out there. They love it. Most people, we can get to their goal. It's really a fun time.
Now, are you looking to get into racing as a profession other than at the school, or are you looking to move up towards the Sprint Cup Series at some point in your young age?
You know, I'm definitely looking to race. That's where that's been a dream in my heart ever since I was, you know, about 12 years old. I never am going to leave Petty unless they kick me out. I just love it there. But, you know, I do want to race. That's definitely something I've been aiming for since I was little. I've been working my way up a little bit at a time. And this year we're going for the Stadium Super Truck Series. We got our eye on that. So we're plugging away, working hard at, getting putting together a team and getting that thing going.
What is the Stadium Super Truck? That's a new one on me. Why you tell our audience what that's about?
Have you seen it yet, Vince?
No, I haven't. I've seen the Camping World Truck Series, but not the Stadium Super Trucks.
Oh, this is so incredible. Vince, when we get done here, you have to go check it out. And everybody at home, go check it out. It's just amazing. StadiumSuperTrucks.com. Basically, Robbie Gordon started the series last year, and it kind of mirrors the old Mickey Thompson series, where they took these Baja-type trucks, put them inside of a stadium where crowds can watch. And these trucks are jumping ramps. You know, they're hitting these ramps at upwards of 100 miles an hour, flying 120 feet distance, you know, 20 feet in the air. It's just, it's amazing. It is a sport to watch. Now, even if you're not into racing, that's something everybody can get into. You know, there's lots of good bumping and banging. There's lots of carnage, you know. The trucks don't usually leave with a full set of body panels on them. So it's really a spectacle.
Oh, so I guess it's kind of like a smaller version of monster trucks. You do the same type of thing, only you're not in these big, gnarly things with the big tires and bouncing around. You're still bouncing around. So if Robbie Gordon started, it must be pretty fun. That's what you're looking to do. Have you been in those before?
Yeah, it's not quite like monster trucks. Think motocross meets desert trucks. That's kind of what it is. You know, it's kind of like the motocross track where you're jumping. You're not jumping over other cars, like crushed cars or anything like that, like the monster trucks do. But, you're out there, you're hitting metal ramps. It's some of the courses are pavement, dirt, and sand all in the same course. They have whoops, jumps, really tight turns. They're great. I mean, some of them have these huge jumps so that you go flying over the other trucks that are under you, so it's pretty neat.
It sounds like a load of fun, and the fact that it's being in a stadium, they could pretty much travel from place to place without having to, have a specific track. We could make the track for the event and then clean it up after.
Yeah, absolutely. They can make the track, and if they run back to back 2 days at the same place, you know, they'll reconfigure the track for the next race, so it's not the same race as you just saw the day before or the week before. It's pretty neat. Also, this year they're following the IRL the IRL series around. They're mirroring them pretty close, and they use their tracks as well. So they'll use the paved IRL tracks throughout the cities and towns, and then they'll just implement those big metal ramps, and they'll take these trucks around and do their thing out there. And this year also, they're going to be some of the big marquee events for stadium super trucks. They're going to be at the X Games in Austin, Texas on June 7th, so that's pretty neat. Lots of stuff all throughout the year. I mean, it's a power-packed season.
Now, how many of these events are you going to be competing at?
Well, there's 15, and that's what we're shooting for. So we're hard charging towards that right now.
Well, I was reading your bio here. You've got some college degrees in automotive technology. So I guess that helps you tinker around your vehicle when you're not in it.
Yeah, that's right. I can also pull them apart and put them back together, all that kind of stuff. I love that. I originally went to automotive school. In high school, we had a program called Running Start, and you do 2 years of high school, and then my last 2 years of high school, I went to college instead of high school, and actually earned that. I graduated college and high school at the same time, which was really awesome. And that allowed me to learn how to work on my race car. I met an awesome, my engines instructor was very instrumental in my career so far, as far as teaching me how to drive race cars, how to work on race cars, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's been a family effort from the start. We got our first race car. You know, I saved every penny I could. You know, Christmas, birthdays, chore money, all that, trying to get a race car. And out of a family tragedy is actually how we got our first race car when I was 17. My grandma died of cancer, and her inheritance left my dad some money, enough money to buy us a race car. So that's where it all started.
Well, I guess a sad thing turned into a good thing. I see you're also married. And how long have you been married? You sound pretty young.
I am pretty young. I've been married 7 years. And I got to say, I'm one blessed woman. I have the man of my dreams, and I'm not giving him up.
Well, that's a good thing. 7 years, that's a pretty good long time. Now, I noticed, you're from Vegas, right?
I'm not from Vegas, but I've lived here about 2 years now, and I absolutely love it. I might as well be from here now.
Okay, that's right, you're from Austin. I see you play ice hockey. Of all things, what made you decide to get into ice hockey?
That's what I heard about you, too. Are you an ice hockey player?
Well, back when I was younger and more nimble, I've donned the pads and gloves and skates and had a stick in my hand. And used to play at the time. We didn't have organized high school leagues, so we used to get a bunch of us and run out in a rink in the middle of the night and play hockey for hours every weekend.
That is so awesome. What position did you play?
Usually right wing, sometimes center. And
I said, good for you, chasing that puck. That's awesome.
Yeah, I took a few hits in the board, centering it out to center. That's why I kind of like that. But I scored my fair share of goals, and I always practiced. What position do you play?
I play generally defense. I was a defenseman, so protect our goal out there. Up against the boys and giving them a little bit of a what for out there.
How tall are you? I wouldn't want to. I mean, you must be either pretty tall or just mean.
No, I'm close to. I'm pretty short. I'm just about 5'2". So, you know, 5'2", and you know, strap some skates on me, though, I'm good to go. So we'll get out there and play some good hockey. My dad was actually my coach throughout growing up, so I got some really good tricks.
Who was your coach?
My dad was my coach.
Oh, and and your dad was, I see your dad's a former Marine.
That's right, just like you, he was. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
That's for sure.
That's right. When were you in?
76 to 80.
I think that's really close to the same years he was, but you're over there on the East Coast, and he was stationed over here in San Diego. Were you stationed over there?
I spent 2.5 years in North Carolina and a year in Japan.
Okay. Awesome. And what did you do in the Marines?
I was considered aircraft launch and recovery. On fighter jets and things, they have this thing called the tail hook, and we would run combat runways and catch them on a cable, kind of like how they do on carriers, but only on land.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
so
like
that's what
action,
I did.
Huh?
And what's that, Ben?
Well, thank you for all your service. I mean, you guys fighting for our freedom over here, I know for sure freedom is not free, and you guys go over there, you take care of business, and keep us free so we can race cars, play hockey, and, you know, do whatever else we want to do over here without anybody giving us hassle. It's pretty awesome.
And shoot things.
And shoot things, yeah.
Well, you can tell your dad thank him for his service for my part, and that's one thing.
Absolutely.
About the Marine Corps. We're trained to kill people and like it, so.
yep. Hey, there's a place for everybody, right?
That's for sure. So,
with your last name, I got to think, are you Italian?
How did you guess? Is it a giveaway? Yes, I am.
What type of Italian are you?
Fat and hungry. I guess if you had to narrow me down to a location as far as ancestry, that would be Abruzzi on my mom's side and Sardinia on my dad's side.
Oh, that's cool. Good deal. So can you cook really good, too?
Can I?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I can cook really good. I let my wife do all that, but she cooks really good. But if I had to, yeah. I'm McDonald's trained from my high school years, so I could flip a burger and cook some eggs.
Perfect.
I could boil some water and throw some pasta in it and know when it's done. As far as making my own sauce, well, I'm not that good. I can pour the stuff out of the jar.
There you go.
You have, so what's your heritage, I should say? Because Haraldson, I guess your married name, so that would...
Yeah, it's definitely married name. My main name is Good, but that's my dad's name, so that's the Polish side. I'm mostly Polish and Italian. I got a little bit of other stuff in there, too, but that's the majority of it. So my mom's Italian and my dad's Polish, and I look a lot like my mom, so I look more Italian than Polish.
That's a good combination. My youngest brother married a Polish woman, a girl that immigrated from there, and they got some beautiful little kids, so.
Awesome. That's
so
a good combination.
I'm familiar. That is a good combination, and it always seems to work out right, so that's good to hear. So when do you start your season in the trucks?
Stadium Super Truck, the very first race is March 7th here in Vegas at Caesars Palace, so it'll be right there on the strip. If anybody's looking for tickets, you can also get them right on the website there, stadiumsupertruck.com. But that's the first starting point. From there, we head off to St. Petersburg, Florida for the Firestone Grand Prix and get going there.
Wow, that's talk about going from one side to the other side of the country in a hurry. I mean, to say they'll run some stops along the way. I'm trying to think of who I had on the show last year that actually raced in that series, but I can't remember who. Maybe maybe one of the Ford drivers.
Yeah, I'm not sure who it would be.
I'll have to, we're going to keep in touch now that, so you're going to have to fill me in on who's what. Maybe I'll give us a, Maybe you'll have to. I'll see if you want to interview some of your competitors and play them on the show.
Perfect. Perfect. I can send you some really good names to interview for sure.
So I'll have to go to stadiumsupertrucks.com, and they have all the information there on the schedule and.
Yeah. Or you can Google them, and if you Google them, you're going to come up with all kinds of good videos. I mean, this stuff is. Wait till you see these trucks flying through the air. These things are amazing. It's basically, it's kind of like the contact sport of racing. it's pretty cool. You just got to check it out. There's really not a lot of words to describe it. When you see it, your jaw's going to drop a little bit, I think.
Pretty good. I've seen some off-road racing, and I've seen monster trucks. So basically, I'm looking for an off-road truck in a stadium, like you said, doing motocross stuff. Matter of fact, one of my show partners who handles a lot of the dirt track stuff in the local area, and she's used to race motocross at Englishtown and four-time women's track champion.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. I was at Englishtown this summer. That's a nice little road course.
Yeah, so you're going there this summer?
Yeah, I went up there this summer. I sure did. It was a great time up there. We ran some Dodge SRT vehicles up there.
Okay. The SRT vehicles, I used to like the old Mopars, but the new ones I'm kind of leery of. I like the Challengers, but I think they kind of let themselves down with the Chargers. But I see you have some, you've driven some Vipers.
Yeah. Well, if you get a chance to get in one, I think you might change your opinion just a hair because they're just amazing. Also, I got to do this really amazing Viper media event through my company as well. It was just so awesome at Willow Springs Raceway in California. It was a really fun time.
That would be something. I remember when the Viper first came out with the V10s and it wasn't expensive in comparison to what Corvettes and things were all for, but I thought they had a real aggressive look. And then for a while there, Dover, when Dover International Speedway had Dodge as one of their manufacturer sponsors, they had Vipers as pace cars. So.
Mm-hmm.
But then they switched to Toyota, which kind of a letdown, but. Anyway, I hope you had a fun time today, and glad to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Vince.
And,
I appreciate it. And just want to give a shout-out.
Go ahead.
Thanks to everybody that has helped get me to this point. My family, I love you so much. Thank you for getting me here. Companies I work for, I just love racing, and I'm so thankful to be here.
Well, plug your sponsors and tell them where they can find you, your website, your Facebook, all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Come on over to jennyracing.com. That's our website. From there, you can link up to all of our social media, or you can head to Facebook and just search Jenny Racing. Twitter, you can search Jenny Racing. And also, we have a Facebook with Jenny Haraldson. Besides that, just Google me and you should be able to find some good stuff out there.
Well,
get in contact with us. We'll keep our news up to date on that.
And they'll be all set. Do you still have the purple hair?
That's right, I sure do.
Well, I found you. Let's see. I've got your Facebook. I followed you on Twitter. And then I see you noticed it. LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
So thanks again for coming on the show. I hope you had a good time. We'll have to do this again. And when the racing season gets going, so we can keep tabs on you and help you on your quest for a championship.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much, Vince. Have a good night.
You too. Take care now.
Okay. Bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. There you have Jenny Haraldson looking to run in the Stadium Super Truck Series. I know if Tammy's listening, and if she's not listening, running motocross, you can understand what that's about. If it's a Robbie Gordon series, I know I had somebody on there. Maybe was it Justin Pawlak or, let's see, Paul Breary. I think they were running for Ford, and they might have been running that. I could be the two guests I had on that day. Well, anyway, I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to go to my next guest, who is none other than PRN pit reporter and good buddy of mine, Steve Richards. Steve, welcome back to the show.
How you doing tonight, Vince?
Oh, not too bad. I guess the big thing is prepping for Daytona, getting all ready for another fun series, and now with some new rule changes for the chase. I'm still trying to figure out how they're saying this is going to work here, and I figured if anybody had the inside on it, it'd be you.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, everything is still up in the air. I mean, what they're talking about publicly and privately, obviously, two different things. Our friend Jim Utter, the Charlotte Observer, broke the story the other day where NASCAR is considering, almost like an NCAA-type situation where you've got 16 teams or 16 drivers, cars, whatever, in the chase, and then elimination, and which is what a lot of people thought should have happened from the start. I remember talking to Kyle Petty a long time ago, well, when the first chase first started, and Kyle said to me, he goes, you know what's missing from the chase? And I said, elimination. And he said, you're absolutely right, elimination. That's what we needed because, you know, a guy gets in the chase and he's, what, seventh or eighth. He has a chance to move up, but at the same time, you've got to – I don't know. I just think it's a good idea. I think you've got to go into Homestead with what they're calling a Final Four, which is interesting because I'm not sure if we've ever had four guys that have been eligible for the title on the last day. Maybe once. I'm not sure, but I know we've had at least three several times.
Yeah.
But to have guaranteed a Final Four, that's pretty cool. And Kurt Busch said something the other day. It was really interesting. He thought that from a sponsorship standpoint, this would really help because a lot of sponsors, you know, they don't get in the chase, and then you know they get down on the sport a little bit. They don't get the exposure that a lot of the other top sponsors do, and this will allow more sponsors to get more exposure. And, of course, that's what teams need to survive, so maybe that is a good idea. But I guess the plan is, at least the way Jim Utter reported it, what is it, Vince, after, what, three races or five races, you eliminate some guys, and then after a few more races, eliminate some more. And you have, like, three rounds of elimination before you get to Homestead, and then you've got a Final Four. So hey, it's all up in the air. Really is, and we'll just see what they come out with. But overall, it sounds like an interesting thing to shake some things up a little bit. So we'll see.
Yeah, it does sound interesting, but I'm just trying to figure out when they eliminate, we'll say, after your first three races and you drop off, we'll say four, because to figure 16, you got to get rid of four at a pop here.
Yeah, you get rid of the 16th, 15th, 14th, and 13th guys. Those are done. They're done.
What would happen? Would those remaining 12 points reset?
Well, that's what
hasn't
been decided yet.
Because that's about the only way I could think that you can do that is you have to reset the points after elimination to get that to work to where you have four at the end.
Yeah, I think that's right because I believe, and I don't have the story in front of me, I believe that's the way Jim described it in his reporting was the Final Four when they're set at Homestead, they're all reset at zero. So I would assume that along the way you're going to have to reset each one of those each one of those segments within the chase to reset to zero and kind of go from there. So, you know, it sounds interesting, and, you know, I think they're trying to figure out every which way to keep Jimmy Johnson from winning another championship. so we'll see if this works. I don't see how it could.
I know. I mean, it seems like the way the chase was set up, it was basically because, well, you know, it's because Kenseth had that 450-point lead going into the toward the end of the season, back when it was still the old Winston Cup days, and they had to figure something out to change that because, I mean, he only wound up winning by a few points because I guess they were trying to play it safe and everybody had a chance to play catch-up, but it was pretty much done before then. And when Kurt Busch won his first then-Nextel Cup, I know they call them all Sprint Cups now, but
right,
us old-timers know the truth. I think when did they start the chase? That was prior to Jimmy Johnson winning, I think, wasn't it?
Was it 04? Was it 04 they started the chase?
Yeah, I think it was 04. So
Kenseth won the last one.
So you figure with all that he's won, he's basically had the same team, and you know how team chemistry plays out, and you had that with Gordon in the 90s, Aaron Hart in the 80s or early 90s.
They've had some changes team-wise, but of course, crew chief, they haven't. And that consistency is key. But you know, Jimmy's best tracks are chase tracks, and they've geared, they've tested, they've, you know, Jimmy's good at all, pretty much all those chase tracks, and I think they can format it everywhere they want. But as long as Johnson wins races and finishes in the top three, they can do whatever they want. Johnson's still going to win the championship. If that's what some people think, that they're trying to do this to, you know, keep Jimmy from winning a championship, I don't see that. I don't see how that's going to work. But I don't know. Might give new life, and new hope to a lot of guys. So
I think that what they ought to do is change the tracks. I mean, face it, you can pretty much write him in at Dover. But a lot of the mile and a half you could swap. Martinsville, he's good at. With Richmond being the last race before the chase, that's really one of the toughest tracks that he's had to deal with. But
I know a lot of people have talked about things like that, but, you know, Brian France comes back and makes a fairly good point that a lot of these tracks, you know, they don't want to give up their dates. There's weather concerns. There's travel concerns. I think it'd be interesting to, you know, have the season-ending race, you know, of course, a lot of people think maybe it should begin and end at Daytona, but I don't think they want a restrictor plate track to end the season. Vegas is a possibility where they would end the race, end the season at Vegas, and then have the banquet a few days after, which would save teams money traveling.
Yeah, that would.
Back and forth, so that's a possibility. But I don't see a whole lot of change in the chase schedule. Obviously, it's all set for next year. There may be a little bit of a change for I know NASCAR and, you know, NBC and Fox will be the two main networks in 2015. NBC may want a few different tracks in the chase. I don't know, but. There's rumors of a shakeup, a little bit of a shakeup in 2015, but I really don't think that we're going to see that much of a change in the chase tracks at all, really. So I don't see it unless maybe they throw Watkins Glen in there if the weather would cooperate.
Yeah.
I don't know how cold it is in upstate New York, when the chase is underway. I don't know. Well, we do run in New Hampshire, so.
Yeah,
that's true, but we'll see. They might throw a road course in there. Jimmy runs great on road courses, so, you know.
Yeah, but we'll somebody see. Else has a – they run great there, but there's also a bunch of other guys that pretty much that run great on road courses. So if they can, give them that little nudge, and I think –
Well, who would you take out then, you know? Which track would you take out? I mean – The tracks that are in the chase don't want to not have a chase race.
Right. That's the thing now.
So, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not a big fan of Chicago. I think you could, I mean, they weren't a chase racer. They weren't the first chase race for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe put the road course at the beginning. But see, then, you know, then you'll pave the way for Jimmy to run the rest of the table. You need to throw something, but they won't add a track. And if you had to add a road course, you couldn't. Most of them are on the northern half of the country, so you couldn't really add them there. And Riverside's been closed for, 20 years now? So, but that would
have
been a good
road course. Yeah, it's kind of a housing development now, I think.
Yeah, a housing development / shopping mall. Well, but I remember watching races there and all that dust flying around. But that would have been a good road course to have late in the year for the chase, but I don't know if it was fan-friendly. I haven't, never really, outside of watching it on TV, I wouldn't know what it'd be like there. Sonoma, again, you're looking at a weather deal out there, or I don't know.
Well, you won't, but that's a Burton Smith track, and I don't think NASCAR is going to cater to Burton Smith. So, I think Sears Point, they like where they are positioned. But Chicago will still be in the chase because it's owned by ISC, and they're not gonna shake that tree, and which is fine. I mean, that's their prerogative. But I don't see a whole lot of changes, Vince, in the next couple of years in the chase. I think we're just gonna have to see what they come up with format wise. You know, Jimmy made a good point the other day. He said that, or not the other day, but about a year ago at this time, we were talking to him about the chase and changes and things like that. And he said about the only thing left, I mean, obviously they've changed the cars, they've changed the format, but Jimmy said the only other thing is to change the tracks. And that's about all you can do. So
yeah.
Other than that.
And, most of the tracks are owned by the France family. The other ones are Bruton, and I think it's what? Dover's one of the few independent tracks around there, and Pocono still is, too. What surprised me is when they shortened the Pocono race, even though they still got two bunched up together, maybe.
I didn't surprise you. Were you surprised when they shortened the Pocono race? I wasn't.
No, I wasn't.
I mean,
I'm surprised they didn't do it years ago.
Well, Doc Mattioli didn't want it shortened, so that's the only reason. As long as Doc was alive, they weren't going to shorten the race. And then, you know, after he passed away, that's the first thing they did was shorten the race. So I think, you know, in my mind, a lot of these races are too long anyway. I mean, I think they ought to shorten Pocono even more, just a little bit. Call
it
400K.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Called a 400K or whatever. And, I don't know, people's attention spans are just not what they used to be.
Now, I think it has to do with the way the race runs. I mean, the cars are so even, and the drivers are so much better. And the race tends to get to be a snooze fest. Finney Wallace at one point had some years, like, maybe they ought to throw, like, an intermission, like, at the halfway mark. And
yeah. Well, I think
that makes sense.
You know, what they're doing right now, they've had some testing at Daytona, mainly here at Charlotte, and they're going to tweak the rules and try to make these cars so we'll have lead changes on the mile and a half. So, I mean, you know, Phoenix, second race of the season, that's going to be huge. Because we're going to see exactly how the racing is. Because, you know, there were very few, the lead changes on the mile and a half were way down from last year compared to the year before and the year before that. And NASCAR knows that they've got to do something to even these cars up. So not only to even them up, but so these guys can pass. Even, you know, they're not going to slow the cars down, which if they slowed the cars down about 10 miles an hour, nobody would know. You couldn't tell. They'd still be going wicked fast, but they'd handle a lot better. And, you know, I think you'd have a lot more lead changes on the mile and a half under green flag conditions. That's not the direction they're going. However, they've tested and they've run simulations and they've been in the wind tunnel and they've tweaked, and you know, I think they think they're fairly confident in what they have, and the drivers seem to like it. So, you know, we'll see. Phoenix is going to be huge when we get out to Arizona.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, that was the whole thing on the truck series and how competitive it is. The races are shorter. They're driving around in boxes, and they can get around each other. And if they have to, yeah, they're not afraid to use the chrome horn every once in a while. And I think the lack of that, or the lack of choice when they use it out in the Cup series, like during yellows and after the race, doesn't lend itself to make for, you know, fun stuff. But, you know, short track racing, if they can figure a way to get that kind of action on some of the longer tracks, that would probably help it out a lot. Like I said, slow the cars down. I mean, they could add a couple hundred pounds of weight to do that.
Well, what's interesting, you mentioned the truck series. Obviously, the qualifying is going to change for truck and nationwide, and I expect it to happen. They're going to have some changes coming up with Cup qualifying as well after Daytona, where you know, you're not going to see the regular qualifying the way it has. I believe they're going to have a little qualifying races or qualifying, you know, the European style qualifying where they send them out in groups and use your average time. I don't mind that so much. I think it'd be more action. It'd be faster. They do that on the road courses now. But if you've got a group of four or five cars out there on a mile and a half, I think you're asking for a little bit of trouble. You could be.
That's
so,
for sure.
But of course, they're not out there passing each other. At least that's not the way the road course thing works. They go out in what groups, and they, or do they pass each other, Vince? I don't know. I don't even watch the darn qualifying, to tell you the truth.
I don't think they follow the rule either, but I always thought it was the old way where, you know, guy goes out, times his lap.
Not on the road course.
And then by the time he's halfway around the track, maybe they might send out another guy, figuring he's not going to catch the guy. Do it that way. You just run
the
time.
At any rate, this season we're going to see changes in qualifying, just to, you know, to spice some things up, and, you know, hopefully maybe get some more fans out there to watch the qualifying along with the race. So that should be, and that might be a little bit interesting, but I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. There's going to be a lot of tweaks and maneuvers and you know. Nobody knows for sure right now. Whatever, you know, everybody saw what Jim Utter, the Charlotte Observer, reported as far as the you know, the chase is concerned. But as far as anything else, you know, we're gonna know a lot a few weeks when we get down to Daytona. There's gonna be one. I think there's gonna be one announcement after the other, and we're gonna be scrambling to get reaction from these teams to see what they think. But it should be fun. It should be an interesting season. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you know what, if they want to make qualifying fun, run two like they do at Daytona. Instead of the running out on time to get the starting row, just run two heat races at each track.
Mm-hmm.
Friday,
yeah,
send half the odd numbers out and even numbers out, or base it on practice times of who's going to race who, and then send them out.
That's one of the possibilities.
I'm pretty sure that getting 20 guys out there running 25 laps at Dover, and then a little bit later getting the next 25, you know, the next 20 out.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Because they run, 150 mile at Daytona now, so they're 50 laps? The duels?
Yeah, I don't think they. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's all still up in the air. I mean, they've been talking about this now for a long time. It's not like they just started to talk about it a month or two ago. I mean, they've been talking about this for a while. to make these kind of changes. And, you know, nothing in NASCAR happens quickly.
No.
when that's concerned. But
you would think being its family run, it would happen quicker instead of having.
They take their time. Yeah, they take their time. They want to make sure they get it right. You know, so who do you like for this season? Who do you think's gonna do well this year?
This year, I don't know. I'd like to see Kyle have a good run. I know he catches a lot of heat for being how he is, but he's got a whale of a lot of talent. So I'd like to see him. Maybe Dale Jr., because I don't know if there's something upstairs that's a mental block, but you would think going from the equipment he had at DEI, I mean, it was good equipment, and then once his father passed, it was still good for a couple of years, and then going to Hendrick, you would think the equipment would be even better. So, but I'd like to see him pull out of a funk and maybe just win one championship to shut up the haters, and, of course, that would please Junior Nation. And I don't know. I don't know what it is with Stuart Haas, but what Danica's year after Daytona was complete crap, so I'd like to see her turn it around. But I'd like to see Kyle Busch take maybe the title this year with maybe Junior and Harvick close behind.
Well, I hate to say it, but I think Jimmy Johnson's going to be the favorite again this year, and he's either going to win it or finish in the top three.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Danica's going to have a little bit better season. She was still on a learning curve last year, so to speak. Her issues were mainly in the mile and a half. She's having issues with trying to find the different lines on the track that where she could make the car go faster. You know, if the car was handling one way, she would have to find a line on the track that would make the car go fast, and if the car, you know, would change during the run, which it usually does, and she would have an issue trying to find the next best line or different places. She still had some figuring out to do, and I know Kevin Harvick helped her out a lot last year. She had several meetings with Kevin, and the race that really disappointed me with Danica was, I believe it was Kansas. I want to say it was Kansas. I don't have the stats in front of me. It was one late in the season where Harvick came over on a Friday evening, sat with her in the bus for about 2 or 3 hours, and just talked to her about how to drive the cars on a mile-and-a-half track. And she did so well, and she was almost around 8th to 10th in every practice, in both practices on Saturday. And I was really curious as to see how she would run. So I talked to her crew chief, Tony Gibson, that morning. We really thought she would have a top 15 run and maybe a shot at a top 10. She was that confident. And she crashed on, like, the first or second lap. She got swept up in a crash. It wasn't her fault. And that was really disappointing because, you know, I'd like to see her do well because she moves the needle in the sport. She's popular. And
yeah.
Dale Jr. and Danica are the ones that move the needle. I mean, if you go to the racetrack and you go to the souvenir haulers, there's always people around the 88 and there's always people around Danica's souvenir haulers more than any other driver. And,
yeah.
You know, and it would really help the sport to have Danica, you know, do much better and maybe be in contention at some of these races where she should be in contention, like the plate races, and maybe a little bit better on the road courses. So I think that Harvick being with her as a teammate, Kurt Busch as a teammate, will help a whole lot. Her team, basically with her and her crew chief, Tony Gibson, they're not, I mean, they were teammates with Newman and Tony, and Tony getting injured last year didn't help her at all because she didn't really have him to, you know, bounce ideas off of. He was the,
right.
You know, but at the same time, her being with those two guys, the veterans with Tony, obviously, it's really going to help her game this year. It really will, because she's going to learn a lot from those guys and as to how the car should feel and what to do to make her car better. I guess the other point I was trying to make was that she and Tony Gibson, with her in a learning phase, were not really teammates in the sense with Stewart and Newman, because she was off on her own island pretty much still learning the cars, and she couldn't be really any help to them, and they couldn't be a whole lot of help to her from
right.
that standpoint as far as their setups and all that kind of stuff. And I, you know, had this talk almost weekly with Tony Gibson about her progress and the fact that her progress, she has come a lot further than the stats would show. There are a lot of things that she has done right and a lot of things that people don't notice. And this year is going to be key because now, you know, she didn't really, I don't think she pushed the car as hard as she could have last year because she didn't have the right feel to do it.
Right.
The car was a lot better than the driver was. And now let's see if the driver can catch up to the equipment this year. So that's why I think Danica's could have a better season than people think. And now Dale Jr., you know, it would be great to see him go out on a high note, even if he doesn't win the championship, at least win two or three races this year with Steve Letarte, because everybody knows that Letarte's going to NBC broadcast booth in 2015. And Dale's demeanor at Daytona was not that great. I mean, you know, he talked about being optimistic and that they can win and they want to go to the next level, and they can, but... And Dale's known about this Letarte thing since last fall. I mean, Steve, that's one of the first guys that Steve called was Dale and said, here's what was presented to me, and here's, you know, I'm going to make the decision. And then when the decision was made, he immediately went to Dale. I mean, Dale's been in the loop on this thing for a long time, but I guess when they got to Daytona to test, it all kind of sunk in a little bit, and, you know, Dale had the hat down in front of his eyes and, you know, kind of had his head down a little bit and his shoulders were a little bit slumped and things like that. He just didn't, you know, seem like he was all that thrilled with what was going on. And, you know, we'll see what happens when we get down there for Speed Weeks. Could be totally different. Maybe he was in a mood or something. Who knows? But at the same time, it's going to be interesting. I think he's going to win. I think he's going to win this year. I mean, I think he's going to be a top five contender almost every weekend, and I think you're going to see Junior in victory lane. Wouldn't surprise me to see him win Daytona, to win the 500. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
I think he's going to have
a good year.
Considering, you know, restrictor plates, he was synonymous with winning in restrictor plates. You don't win five or six straight at Talladega. He did win. He did get the Daytona 500 monkey off his back and won a few of the 400s. I mean,
it's been a while, though.
That's what I was thinking. I was just wondering if his, like, motivation fell that far off in the later years with DEI to where, I don't know, I don't know Teresa probably as well as you or anybody that's living in the bubble day in and day out, but I just think it had a negative effect on him. And then when he went over to Hendrick with Tony Jr. and all that, I think he's, you know, been in a relative recent search for chemistry. And now it looked like they might have been getting it last year with Letarte. Now he's only got one more year with him. You know, that kind of might set him back into a mental funk. Who knows? It's
Yeah, that's what some people speculate, but we'll see how he responds to it. this year with Steve, because I mean, he's setting himself up to have either a really, really good year or not. So,
right.
You know, and if he doesn't, if the first, let's say, half dozen or so races, if things are not going well, you know where the blame is going to fall. It's going to fall on not exactly Steve Letarte leaving, but Dale's mental game,
right,
toward Steve leaving. Because Dale has always said to us, not just the past year or so, but over the years, you know, he knows things don't stay the same. He knows things change. And, you know, but you can say that, but it's how you react to it and how you deal with it is key. So we'll see how he reacts to it and deals with it during the season. So we'll see.
That's for sure. I mean, and then, you know, and I'm looking at Nationwide, and I'm thinking who's going to be the next heir apparent there. I think, I don't know, everybody, you know, seems to think that, don't mind the cat howling in the background.
Do what now?
Mind my cat howling in the background there.
Oh, okay.
If you hear it, but kind of think that Hornish got jobbed out at the end of that, you know, going into the last race of the season where I forget what they did, and kind of threw a late yellow and bunched the field back up, so Austin was able to gain the points needed to finish ahead of Hornish. But I would have loved to have seen Sam get that title for Penske, and it just didn't work out, because I've had the opportunity getting Sam on, you know, interview with Sam pretty much every few weeks, and whenever he'd drop out of the points, I'd have him on, and he'd seem to have an up and down season, and he just fell a little short toward the end there. And
yeah,
I don't know,
too bad, because I mean, it was an interesting battle, and it was, you know, either one of them could have won it. I mean, it's just bad luck more than anything else. But him running, you know, him running some limited schedule for Joe Gibbs, I mean, he's got a shot at definitely winning two or three races this year Nationwide. I mean, he's only running, what, five or six. He could actually win mostly all of them. He'll have the equipment to do it. So,
yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how that pans out.
I didn't realize he signed with Gibbs.
Yeah.
But then again,
he's going to be running the Monster Energy car with Kyle Busch this year.
Okay.
So he'll be running about five or six races for him, and that's the only thing he has on the schedule right now.
Was that a,
so?
Didn't want to see him have to go back to IndyCar. I don't think he wanted to way.
No, I don't think so. I think he enjoys the stock cars.
Yeah, the one person I'd like to see get in some really good equipment and see how they do would be Johanna Long, because she's had two partial years with ML Motorsports, and I don't know, she's finished ahead of Danica in every Nationwide race they've competed in against each other. And she's ran real well. Last year as well. So and she had the one race at Richmond. If she didn't blow a tire, she was running top five and spoke past Denny Hamlin, kind of woke him up for the rest of the day. But I'd like to see, that's somebody I'd like to see get in a good car and see what they could do with it. But I don't know if an owner's willing to take a chance on her or what. But
well, I think an owner would if they thought she could win. I don't think it really matters that she's female. I think Joe Gibbs would have put her in the Nationwide car instead of Sam if they thought she could win. But obviously they think Sam can win, so, you know. So there,
well,
you go.
Well, Sam's proven too, so.
Yeah.
He's proven he could win, so he's been and they got with Bubba Wallace there. That kid's got some talent.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot from him. Good kid. and good race car driver. Really good race car driver. So,
well, it's not that the future of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series is in doubt, because they got a lot of talent coming through, but...
Well, we had an announcement today with two more. BK Racing, no more David Rudiman, no more Travis Kwapel. You've got Alex Bowman and Ryan Truex going to run for them this year. Going to change the number from, they're going to take number 23 and 93, I believe it is, dropping the 83 for 23 for Truex. And that's some decent young talent there with Ryan Truex and Alex Bowman. Probably not the best equipment in the world, but not horrible either.
No.
And you've got other rookies in there with, you know, Kyle Larson and Austin Dillon will be the two marquee rookies.
That's true.
So we'll see how that goes.
I think Larson could have used another year in Nationwide. I mean, he's got a whale of talent, but I don't know if he's cup ready yet. And then the 30 car, you got Cole Witt and Swan's running two cars, and Parker Kligerman moving up in. I've had him on the show. I've had Parker on the show, and, you know, he seems to be one of them quiet guys. He runs really, really well, but you don't notice him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And he's had the proper upbringing in the truck series and some Nationwide. I mean, he's run these cars before. I'll tell you, one guy who could surprise is Michael Annett. He's running the Tommy Baldwin car this year. He's running for Rookie of the Year. I don't think he'll win Rookie of the Year, but he might have some decent runs, because even though Annett only had a handful of really good races in the Nationwide Series, he's a kid who's driven a lot of higher horsepower cars over his career, and his car control is said to be excellent, and his talent supposedly, like Tony Stewart's. I'm not saying that Michael Annett is the next Tony Stewart, but
yeah.
Tony Stewart's talent transferred over into Cup a lot more than it did Nationwide, where Tony was not very good at Nationwide,
right?
And that could be the same for Michael Annett, and even Michael said that, you know, if I'm not ready now, I'm never going to be. And he brings sponsor dollars. His family owns all the Pilot Travel Center, the truck stop.
That's right.
So he brings sponsor dollars to Tommy Baldwin Racing. That'll help a lot too. But Tommy knows talent, and I think Annette's got some talent. We'll see how he fares this season. So I don't think we've had this many rookies in Cup for a long, long time.
No.
Good rookies. I mean, good rookies.
Yeah, it's going to be a solid field, and I guess that it's all going to start out to see who can get a good jump out of Daytona, because that would set the tone if they can maintain consistency throughout the year. And they got a shot at it. Last year was just, what, Ricky and Danica. And, I don't know. With those two being a couple, I don't know. That must have tended to make for some time.
It's still Ricky and Danica.
Make for some off-the-track remarks, you know, between them, you know. I was like, Ricky did hold on for the Rookie of the Year, so.
Oh, yeah, just barely.
You know, that's another thing you have to watch out for. Which teams you think are going to have it this year as well? I mean, Jimmy Johnson aside, how about the rest of Henrik versus Roush versus Gibbs versus, Ganassi?
Well, you may see a little bit better showing from the Fords this year. They have a new nose on the front of the car, which add stability and some downforce to the car that they didn't have last year. That was one of their main complaints in the Ford camp. So Carl Edwards could have a, just because of that, and I don't think Edwards could have any worse luck than he had in the chase last year. He led the points going into the chase, and then just, you know, everything just kind of blew up in his face. But I think Carl Edwards is, you know, could have a pretty good season this year.
Yeah, I'd like to see him have it. He's a genuinely nice guy and off the track. And from what I've experienced with him out there, and just one of those guys you'd like to see get it one year. And I fell a little short the year that it came down to a tiebreaker between him and Stewart. But, you know, that's the way the game goes.
Yeah, and I expect him to have a good season. And also, you can't overlook Kevin Harvick, even though, you know, he's with a new team. But it's a good team. It's a very good team. And Harvick should, you know, Harvick's run, what, finished third 3 years in a row, something like that.
Yeah.
Harvick's due. So that's a real possibility right there as well. So, and I don't expect Casey Kane to have the same season he had last year. They were really inconsistent. And
yeah.
Jeff Gordon should have a better season this year. I mean, but there were rumors that he was going to have a new crew chief, but obviously those rumors didn't pan out. Still has Alan Gustafson. There was some talk that they might replace Alan Gustafson, but that of course didn't pan out to be true. Now whether they were talking about it and they just decided to stick together was one thing, but and maybe they just didn't see an alternative. But I mean, Alan's a good crew chief. I mean,
yeah,
he's a good crew chief, and they've just lacked some consistency as well. But they made the chase after being put in last year after the Richmond deal. But they deserved to be in the chase, and obviously they showed it. I mean, they made some noise for a while, and you know, they deserved it. And yeah, Jeff should have a better season this year. So he doesn't have many more left. So he's not going to have not many more left to win another championship. So
I'd like to see him get his fifth one. At least break up some of the Jimmy Johnson run a little more.
Yeah, Jimmy's going to be around a little bit longer, so he'll have plenty of opportunities. So. So anyway, that's how that kind of looks for this year, as far as I can tell. We missing anybody we haven't talked about, or
yeah, Mikey Walter, big boy, or Mikey Walter breaks.
I don't know. I think they're going to struggle a little bit. I think that losing Truex, I think Truex will have a decent season in the 78, but you know, losing Truex and having all that happen to him last year, it's got to hurt. It's got to hurt. They've regrouped for this year, obviously, but I could be totally wrong, but I don't see Clint being a huge threat for the championship. I mean, he should be about a fifth to eighth place car just about every week, unless they hit on some things and be that much better. But I would like to see him win Kansas. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he and Carl Edwards, that's both their home tracks. I'd like to see Clint win it. That would be the best post race party that you will ever see. Party,
yeah.
Celebration first, then party later. He wouldn't go to bed for 2 days, guarantee you.
I could imagine. Well, he wouldn't have to go very far. Yeah, that's one thing I think. After Truex won two nationwide titles and all the hopes for him to grow in the Cup Series, when I saw his first couple of years, I said I don't know if he's going to be able to get to that next level, and you know, and he's only got what, two wins in his whole, maybe three in his whole Cup career. One at Dover,
yeah,
or rain out.
Yeah, well, they had the chemistry going for last year. They found the team chemistry. Had the whole Richmond thing not happened, and really, you know, the whole deal with Napa going away and just everything just falling apart, they might be a threat. They would have definitely made the chase this year and maybe a threat to be top five in points had this not happened. Because
yeah,
they were really, really coming on with that team. And that's really a shame. That was really a shame because, you know, he's with the 78 now, Furniture Row.
Yeah.
Not sure how long that will last, how long he wants to be there. I think that was the best ride that was available. So who knows?
They're available.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know with Kurt Busch in that car, he drove it better than the car was worth. And
oh, yeah.
And then that's the only thing is Truex is going to have that ability to do that.
Yeah, well, I think they're a stronger team this year. I think they'll be a little bit stronger team on pit road. And that really killed Kurt last year. He'd go in third, come out seventh. He'd go in second, come out eighth. He'd go in leading, come out fourth. You know, he didn't deserve that. Now, sometimes the crew guys did a really good job, but most of the time that was their weak link was the pit crew, and you know that hurt him. Plus, even Kurt said that they were trying some new things in the chase last year, that they thought they'd be even better rather than trying the setups that got them there. They tried some new things, which they shouldn't have done, and made it all that much worse. So they learned from that. But anyway, but Kurt should have a pretty good season with Stuart Haas. I mean, he really should.
Yeah,
Got a great team. He'll have a better pit crew, and you know, a lot of people think that, you know, Kurt and Harvick, it's going to be, and with Stewart, it's going to be one big fight. But it's not going to be the case. I mean, you know, the 78 with Kurt last year, they were strategic alliance. They had a strategic alliance with RCR, and you know, Kevin and Kurt worked a lot together last year with no problems, and even Kurt said maybe, or Kevin said like 5 years ago, they probably couldn't do this. But
right,
they've gotten older, wiser, more mature. Yeah, cliche, but true. And I think they're going to help each other this year.
Yeah,
there may be a few times, though, when, you know, when sparks are going to fly. Wouldn't surprise me. But at the same time, I think for the most part, those guys are going to be good for each other.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I know they signed Kurt without Tony. It was Haas is doing, but what are you going to do? It's just one of those things that, he wanted that team. And so.
That was good being on tonight.
It was great having you. We got a lot of stuff talked about, so I guess we'll touch base once the season starts, and then once we see what everybody's looking like, then we can make predictions from there.
Yeah, it's kind of tough right now when there's rumors about the chase. You don't know what they're going to do, so you can't really, you know, give a real accurate, you know, you can give an opinion what you think they might do, but there's nothing set to talk about. And, you know, you can talk about some of the, you know, some previews things that we've talked about tonight, some teams we think they're going to do well and some that might not do so well. And that's about all you can do right now. And just kind of go from there. I know I know Kurt Busch is happy Kyle Busch is happy because his Denver Broncos are in the Super Bowl. And then Casey Kane's a big Seahawks fan, so it'd be interesting to see if those guys, you know, make a little friendly wager on the side.
Yeah, right. I guess you were happy last year when the Ravens won it. So.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I'm from Maryland originally, but I'm more of a Carolina Panthers fan now that I moved to Charlotte, and You know, the Ravens were, when the Ravens were formed, I was already in North Carolina, so it was nice to see the Ravens win. But at the same time, I'm more of a Panthers fan than anything else, and that was a tough game against San Francisco. They were just flat in the second half. We just could not believe how well they played in the first half, and they came out and just nothing in the second half. It was just totally ridiculous.
That's the story of a lot of teams, that second half is usually what does them in.
Carolina
was the Eagles.
Carolina's been the opposite. I mean, they've had some lackluster first halves, and they would come back in the second half, and they would win games in the second half most of the season, and that's what shocked a lot of us this year. To see how where was Steve Smith in the second half? You know, the play calling was just, they were just flat. They just played with no intensity whatsoever, and so you know. That's the way it goes in sports sometimes.
Yep, that's for sure. Well, the end of February, the 28th, I remember when Daytona used to be like Valentine's Day. We're getting later.
Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago. Now, yeah. Valentine's Day or the day before, the day before is Media Day, 13th. It's Media Day. And they bring all the drivers in and all the media, and they have all these, you know, booths set up, and different media get to talk to all the drivers, do their preseason interviews and predictions and prognostications and, you know, whatever else you want to call it. So that's a full day. And all the race fans, you'll be able to see that on TV, and everybody will be live or having reports from Media Day. That'll be the first big thing from Daytona. Now we've got the Charlotte Motor Speedway Media Tour at the end of this month, Monday through Thursday at the end of this month, and included in that is the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies during Media Tour this year. So I guess the first, yeah, you got the Media Day down in Daytona, but obviously Media Tour will be kind of the same thing, where we'll talk to the drivers so I guess the Media Tour is the first real big thing, and you'll see a whole lot of, you'll see news coming out of there, and NASCAR may decide to announce the chase at that particular time, and maybe even talk about the qualifying, because then, you know, we'll be there with the drivers and the teams and the owners, and we'll get reaction, and it'll be big news during that week. So we'll see what happens. We've got the next weekend. We've got the National Motorsports Press Association banquet and our Hall of Fame ceremonies, and one of the guys that will be inducted is Mario Andretti. So looking forward to seeing Mario next weekend.
That's around, the 25th or 26th, Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, I think Saturday is the Saturday.
Saturday's the day, and the week after that's the Super Bowl. So NASCAR is not doing anything on Super Bowl week.
No. So.
All right, my friend.
We're about to hit it for another season.
We're about to hit it. I have to get you on from Media Day or whatever, the Media Tour. And seem like I'm 3 hours away. I'd have to put in for credentials. And being as a standalone like I am now, it's a little different than having a station affiliation. So I don't know if they'd let me in.
Well, I think you missed the deadline, Vince.
Yeah, I know. The deadline's probably the last race of the season. That's right. I'll just have you on to talk about it. That's all.
Well, you can do that. We can send you some interviews to play and play on the show.
That would work.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of people talking to the drivers and more than happy to send some interviews up your way and have everybody take those in and see what they have to say.
Sounds good. All right, Steve. Let me. Let's Roll. Thank you for joining me here for a lengthy discussion. I think we were able to talk about a lot, and let's wait and see what goes down.
All right. Appreciate it, Vince.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye. There you have Steve Richards from PRN, Performance Racing Network. That is MRN for Bruton Smith Tracks. And now a word from Cadence Candles.
Cadence Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
And we'll be back next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live. Good night and good racing. Special thanks to Steve Richards and Jenny Haraldson for joining me today. Go check out her at jennyharaldsonracing.com or jennyracing.com. And she's on all the social media, so pick one. Follow her, like her page, all that good stuff. I'm Vince Bonfigli. We'll see you all next week. Good night and good racing.